Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The lead story is Zion's debut last night. I was impressed. I'm not going to lie. We talked about it last night, what we expected. I certainly didn't expect that. I talked to a scout yesterday or a person in the league, and he thought Zion would give him 15 points and 7 rebounds. Instead, he gave you 22 and 6 with 3 assists to throw in. I actually thought the executive I talked to was a little ambitious. But he went out there in 18 minutes, 22.7 rebounds, and I liked what I saw. I thought he showed great court vision. First pass early in the first quarter to Brandon Ingram was a nice feed to a cutting Ingram. I thought in the transition in the second half, he found Etwan Moore on a great pass for a layup. He showed the ability to grab the rebound and push the ball up court. And obviously the jump shot. I mean, that's the big takeaway. But I'm not going to make too much out of that because I don't expect – obviously he's not going to shoot that well. But I'll say this. If he can hit, say, 35% from three, then he is going to be – I believe a superstar for the next 7 to 10 years, as long as he's got that athleticism and stays healthy. Because if he can hit the three, you're going to have trouble, you know, knowing what to give him. And I thought, Rob, he was a combination. Now, I've already called him a new age Charles Barkley. But I thought he looked like a combination of Draymond Green with the court vision, the ability to grab the rebound and push the ball up court like a guard and make plays, be a playmaker, and Larry Johnson, you know, when Larry was Larry before the back injury, where he was undersized, but he could post you up with his big body. He could finish around the rim. He was a quick leaper. And I think he's a Draymond Green that can average 24, 25 points a game, which makes you a star and maybe a superstar. So I was impressed. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, my vision and my thoughts are of him huffing and puffing on the bench in the first half. Yes, he finished strong. It was impressive for that, and that was really good to see him knock down those shots and you know, finish the game strong. But you just wonder, like, if and it's not fair because he knocked them down, but had he missed those three-pointers, then you would look and you would go, everybody would be talking mostly about his size and his, and this is his first game, conditioning. So we already know that. I don't expect the guy to come out and be fresh. One thing to practice is another thing to play in a game,
right,
and build up win. But people did right away start talking about his size and his weight. But I don't know if that's fair.
We commented when we first saw him. The beginning of the game was on at the end of the show, and
right,
we said, wow.
No, he looked huge. But I'm sure nobody expected. I think when we talked, we asked, and I said maybe 15 points or something. I think that's where we were, around 15 or 17, and he wound up with 22. So if you're New Orleans or you're those executives or fans, you got to be thrilled. It's been a long time coming.
Right.
He stayed healthy in his first game. You know what I mean? Like, thank God, knock on wood. It wasn't like, oh, my God, he got hurt again.
Right.
And he finished. They lost, but he finished strong, giving them at least something to, like, look forward to as you move forward. Because we already know Brandon Ingram's had that.
Because Anthony Davis, he did.
They lost everything that they had with Anthony Davis and all the mojo or momentum that they had after they made the playoffs and swept Portland. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yep.
Because last year they didn't make
two
the playoffs.
Years ago,
right.
Yep.
But anyway, so I think if you're a Pelican fan or New Orleans fan, you felt really good that you got to see your prize And he showed out, especially at the end of the game, where it could have been exact opposite, where you're not in condition, you don't have your legs, and your shot is short or whatever, right? That normally is what happens.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, he looked winded. And, you know, you've covered the NBA long enough to know that the only way you get in shape for games is to play. And, you know, you see guys that get hurt for 2 weeks, and they come back, and, you know, they're winded initially. So for a guy that had never played an NBA game, never played a 48-minute basketball game, you know, never played against the NBA competition in a real game, I thought it was understandable, and, you know, it was just unavoidable that he was going to be winded in those four-minute stints. But to me, that makes it a little bit more impressive that if he could do that. And again, I'm not saying he's going to do that every game. But if he could do that being winded, being out of shape, being rusty, and you can see he was rusty because he lost the ball several times off his dribble. So I just think that makes it even more impressive what he did and makes you look forward to even more. I'm glad you brought up, though, the wind, Rob, because how do you – and look, we're not doctors. We're not saying they didn't do the right thing or did do the right – like, we don't know. We just got to go with what the doctors are saying. But I do feel generally, Rob, like, if the doctors get to a point – and they may already be there – where they're like, look, he's fine. I mean, he's – you know, I think he's there because they wouldn't have let him come back. At some point – and I don't know what it is. Is it 2 weeks from now, a month from now? Is it next season? I don't know. But at some point, you're going to have to be like, take the kid gloves off and say he's going to play. And he's going to play what he deserves, which is 35 minutes a night or whatever.
Right. Hit the kid's 19 or 20.
Like at some point, right?
Right.
You got to be like, it wasn't meant to be.
I just think that, and I get it, why early on here, like he already got hurt. He's been hurt 3 times in the last, 16, 18 months, what was it? Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Basically
he's been
a year and a half, right?
So he's been hurt 3 times. So they're like, we're not going to throw him out there and ask this guy to play 30 minutes. And then, God forbid, he's tired at the end, turns an ankle or does something. You know what I mean? Like,
because
then they would be like, why are you pushing the kid? So I get the kid gloves. But you're right. At some point, at that age, they will just have to let him play. And if he winds up, you know, it's just like the Derrick Rose thing. There's nothing you can do. You come out, you put the guy out there, and he got hurt a few times, and it's unfortunate, but you can't prevent injuries. You can't.
Yeah, I heard some guys, you know, commentators on other shows talking about, like, they were highlighting how he was landing, like off a rebound, off a layup. He landed on 1 foot. That's 285 pounds on 1 foot. He's got to come down on both feet. You don't want him out there thinking, how am I going to land? Because a lot of the plays he made last night, like when Poeltl blocked this shot under the rim and he got the rebound quickly and went back up for a layup, that's an instinctive play. And if you're out there thinking about your feet, how you're going to land and all that, you're not going to be that same player.
You can't play that way.
No.
Because it just – they always say, don't overthink it. It's just natural. You go for the ball. You do what you've been doing. You don't start thinking about, especially how you're going to land every time you grab a rebound.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're 19 years old.
You'll wind up being hurt.
Right.
And that's not what you want to do. You just want to play naturally. And hopefully, I've seen guys shake the injury bug. And I always bring up Matthew Stafford, who was hurt his first couple of years playing quarterback.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the guy's played the last 8 years, no problem.
Yep.
No problem. So you can shake it sometimes, and then sometimes it doesn't work out, but you just got to go out and play.
I also thought, Rob, that he handled the spotlight well. I mean, we've seen him do that now for the past year and a half.
For a young kid, he is. The press conference I heard, the sound I heard from him was good, and I know whether it's – you don't really mean it or not, but I like when a guy says, other than the loss, I'm not like, what I did.
Some guys would have been like, hey, this was just what I dreamed.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
This.
But I think you should always think about that because that's why you play and you're trying to win. So you should never be satisfied with wins, even though for him, his first game in the NBA, it's big. But I like that he said that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, there was a big story today in The Athletic about turmoil and tension kind of bubbling underneath with the Clippers, the L.A. Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob G is going to summarize it for us. Now, keep in mind, Rob G, he's loving this story. He's a Laker fan.
Well, this story was for Laker fans to read. I'm serious. This was the story that was written.
To get them feeling good about themselves.
Exactly. That's exactly what this was.
Go ahead, Rob G. Summarize.
Well, this was some great investigative work done by Sam Amick and Jovan Buha of The Athletic. And a lot of it focused on the Clippers. And I know that they're the second team.
Well, the whole story was
the entire thing focused on the Clippers.
Right.
But, you know, the Lakers are the team in L.A., so we're used to drama coming out of the Lakers locker room. But this was different because, as you said, it detailed a little bit of drama building underneath the surface in the Clipper locker room. And a lot of it focused, it's a very long piece, I don't want to read the whole thing, but a lot of it focused on teammates being upset about the preferential treatment, specifically the load management of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They didn't like that as soon as these guys showed up, they didn't have to practice anymore. They weren't playing back-to-backs. And it also, one of the quotes that was included in the piece, people are upset that Kawhi is not a vocal kind of a guy, obviously. So when your leader, who doesn't have to practice, doesn't have to go to games, also isn't your vocal leader, he doesn't really relate to a lot of the players. So here's the quote. It boils down to Kawhi not talking. And so, who is their true leader? How do you get around that fact? End quote.
Because Paul George is not quite
he's
as...
He's similar. He also
yeah,
does,
not
he's not very
as,
vocal.
Much of a recluse as
tell,
Kawhi,
tell,
but
the,
he also is a quiet guy.
Tell the Athletic to call the players in Toronto and ask them. Ask them how that championship
feels.
It's
funny how you brought that up, Rob, because it mentioned specifically about Kawhi Leonard that this is not the first time that some people have been kind of put off by his personality, you know, for lack of a better word, for refusing to want to put himself in harm's way and quote-unquote load manage. They brought up him ghosting the Spurs when he was rehabbing his quad injury. And the second one, which was very underreported probably because they're in Toronto, he decided he was going to sit out a few, not even back-to-back games, just because he said, hey, I'm resting myself. And he would give a team very short notice that he wasn't planning on playing, while guys like Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet were playing banged up, and they were a little miffed by that.
No, I get it. This is his MO, and this is what he's had great success so far in the NBA. And until, as you say, until they don't win, then you could criticize him. And
right.
That's really what it comes. Chris, if they win the championship and he did it his way again, he was Frank Sinatra, and things worked out and he took off 20 games and they wind up winning at the end, no one will have an issue. If that doesn't happen, then the Clippers organization and other players can say, see, this is Wayne Wright. He did all that and he wasn't ready. He didn't play well in the postseason. Then it opens up a lot for criticism.
Yeah. Do you agree with my premise, Robin? I've said it before on the show. If you have this type of load management, you better win it. Now, I get that if they beat the Lakers, say, in the Western Conference Finals and then lose in the tough
series, it still
to Milwaukee,
would be okay. It still would
yeah,
be
nobody's
right.
going to kill them. But I say the only way to justify this type of 20, 22 games off a season is to win the championship.
Yep.
You tend to agree with that?
I do.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, look,
I'm not a load management guy.
And
I think Kawhi is a tremendous player, and I picked him to win. But I'm just, if you're healthy, you should play.
Right.
That's just,
yeah.
If you're not, I get it.
They brought up something interesting in the article. They said, they were theorizing how, look, we understand how the load management, the concept, can naturally rub people the wrong way. Like, what if I had load management? I did the show twice a week. Or three times a week, and you had to do it every day.
And when you came back, I wouldn't be here because I wouldn't go.
Right, but there you go. You know what I'm saying? So you can see how I can rub people the wrong way. But let me put it this way. What if we did it that way and the show was wildly popular, and you were getting paid millions because of it, then you might be like, look, I'll put up with it.
Because we're winning, right, we got ratings, right, and we're getting paid.
And if and then once it sinks, though, yep, you're like, no, this is some craziness. So,
That's fair.
I look at the Clippers on the court. And what I see, and I'm not, look, Sam Amick, Johan, they're good reporters, so right, I'm not doubting their reporting at all. But what I'm looking at them on the court, and I don't see issues like this.
Boy, look, if that's issues with where they are, Chris, I mean, considering where, like, the Lakers started and some of these other, where are they?
They're third in the West. The third best record. They're a half game behind Utah, who has the second best record, and 4.5 games behind the Lakers. And they've beaten the Lakers twice, once without Paul George. They're 14-4 with Kawhi and Paul George playing together.
That's a nice record.
Yeah, they're like 18-6, I believe, with Kawhi only. And they're 5-6 without Kawhi. And so they clearly need him. And Rob, again, it's kind of like Zion. He was out of shape and he did that. Wow, I'm impressed.
Right.
I'm looking at the Clippers like they don't practice much. Paul George has been kind of in and out of the lineup. Kawhi is doing load management. And Patrick Beverley's been hurt, nicked up here and there. And they're still winning and beating some of the best teams in the league. Now, their record is, we talked about the Lakers 5-5 against the top four in each conference. The Clippers' record is somewhat similar. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's around there as well. But they've lost some of those games without Kawhi. Utah beat them without Kawhi.
Right, and so you can look at it and go, they haven't even, if they had that record and those guys were playing, then maybe you would look. But when you look at it and say they're 14-4 when both of those guys are playing, you got to feel good about that. And eventually, at the end of the year, those guys will be there.
Right.
And then you got to say, okay, how are you going to beat them? Remember, how are you going to beat them four times? It ain't just about beating them one time.
Yep.
You can beat a lot of teams. If it was when Michael Jordan played and it was a single-game elimination, he would not have six championships. Because you could beat somebody
right
in one game.
Good point.
You could have an off night, right? You could miss a shot and somebody could come in and play big. But you're not beating Michael Jordan four times in a seven game. It's not happening.
Right, right. No, that's a great point. And I did my power rankings today, my top five. I don't need to do 30 teams. Is anybody
really
looking past 10, if not five?
You was going to say.
Right. So my top five, at five I had Miami.
Number four,
I had Utah.
Number three,
I had the Lakers.
What?
Yes.
Number two.
Wait a minute. Go back to three.
Number three.
What? The Lakers.
They got to start beating. I'm looking at that game Tuesday against the Clippers.
Wow. So
they got to start beating some of the better teams.
So you put down your pom-poms before you put out this list?
Well, I don't own any pom-poms. But you know, like you said, we pick a team and you want your picks to win. So
I did
pick them in the preseason. Obviously, we'll make our picks again going into the playoffs. And right now, I think the Clippers
are the
best team. Right now, they're number one.
Number one. Wow.
Now, they look – again, they've beaten the Lakers twice.
If they beat them a third time –
LeBron's been a little tentative. AD scored 4 points in the fourth quarter of each game.
Right.
I mean, you know,
Total, right?
I got to see something from the Lakers to tell me – They see, the Clippers also are hungry, they're tenacious, they're gritty, and they want a title. Like, you know, I haven't seen that from the Lakers.
Right. No, there is a difference, and I'll say this, that when you look at the Clippers, to me, it just seems like they know what they're doing, they know where they want to go. They're not like, we're trying to have the best record in the league, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and then win the title. It seemed like they're on a schedule. They know they're going to win enough games to make the playoffs. They don't have to be the one seed.
Right. I think they want a top four seed.
Right, as long as you have home court.
Home court,
I get that. That's all you need to do and play for. and they've won enough games. Sure, they've been nice. They lost to the Hawks the other night, right?
Well, now, Beverly, to our point, Beverly, George, and Kawhi sat out.
So they lost. So there are games like that where you look and go, they lost to the Hawks. They didn't have their players. You think they would have lost to the Hawks if those three guys were playing?
Not at all. Now, and Rob, look, we've been covering the league. I've covered it 26 years. You covered it since the late 80s. We know as well.
Since they had laces in the basketball.
We know as well that championship teams don't always get along. It's not always everybody hanging out together and, you know, going to movies on the road and all that. Heck, Kyrie left Cleveland after winning the championship.
Right.
You know, so you know this. This does not have to mean they're not going to be a great team. Kevin Durant, I've heard stories. Now, granted, last year they didn't win it, but we all believe had they stayed healthy, they would have won it. I've been told Kevin Durant, players in the league, Kevin Durant, he was checking the clock last year. Really wasn't engaging with many people, obviously to a little bit, but wasn't engaging with guys that much off the court. He was almost like a mercenary, players felt last year. He just was there to get that ring, and I think they would have had he not gotten hurt. And so, but yet, they still were able to be a great team.
Right. No, and we've seen teams in the past. One I'm very familiar with. There was a lot of bickering, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with the Pistons. I'm talking about the Bad Boy Pistons.
The original Bad Boy.
Exactly. Yep. And they had a lot of different personalities, and guys had fights and blow-ups and all kinds of stuff that was in there. And you would go like, well, how'd they win? We talk about the classics of Reggie Jackson when he joined the Yankees.
Right.
He had a fight with the manager in the dugout during the game, Billy Martin.
Yep.
Him and Thurman Munson didn't get along. But they won the World Series, right?
And the greatest example, of course, Shaq and Kobe.
Exactly.
And they won three straight.
Exactly. So that stuff goes on, and I don't think anybody, if you're a Laker fan and you're reading this and think somehow this is the demise of the Clippers and they don't get along and they're not holding hands and singing Kumbaya, you're going to be in for a rude awakening if you think that's going to undo them.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, heck, if there was somebody reporting about the Odd Couple, behind the scenes, sometimes we get into it.
We better
not see any anonymous quotes.
That's right, Rob.
We know who they're come from.
He's already called the trade papers, the radio trade.
But you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, sometimes you working closely with people and you go at it. But that doesn't mean you're not. But I remember in college, Rob, I almost got in a fight with a guy my senior year. He was a freshman.
Really?
And, yeah, we scrimmaging, and I think he got a little too physical or whatever. We squared up.
Did you pick up a phone book?
I just picked up my Dukes, all right? And we squared up. I was like, I'm going to knock you out.
You said it to him.
Right, and we didn't fight. But later that night, we were in the, you know, little club on campus sharing a drink together.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, we were cool. Like, so stuff happens in the heat of the moment. But there were also dudes on our team that just had beefs, you know? And
Rob G,
we really didn't win a lot, but still, that wasn't why.
Who'd you call?
No, just one quick. No, it wasn't a call. It was an email.
Okay.
I want you to know that. It's coming out tomorrow in Deadspin about what's going on with the Odd Couple.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but real quick, though, I must mention, any guy who says we're about to fight before you fight, you know he's going to lose. So we know that wasn't going well for Chris Broussard.
You don't know me.
But the only thing is, Chris, I will say this. And when you said that, I'm going to knock you out. Normally, you couldn't have been really mad because normally, if you're really like that, you don't even warn the guy. Like if a guy like crosses you.
Yeah, it wasn't
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm saying if a guy, I remember my freshman year, I had a fight with my roommate in college. And it was dumb over nothing, really. But he walked up to me, right, and got into my airspace. So once you're, like, so close to me, and, you know, there's an argument going on, I'm not waiting for you to hit me.
Did you sucker punch him?
I hit him. I did. Because you violated.
Knocked him out?
No, I just put a bruise on his face.
He didn't jump back.
And, you know, and then the other roommates jumped in. But my point was he violated my airspace When a guy is that close to you, what can he do?
Can't do it.
He can punch you out.
Right.
Once you walk up to me like that close and there's an argument and you're like engaged or what is it called? Yeah.
You're right. Because you don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to stand there and let you come up to me and punch me in the face.
You ever heard the stories of a guy, you know, they're squared up chest to chest, and one guy starts taking off his jacket and the other guy hits him. Like, dude. You ain't got time for all that.
Right, you ain't taking off no jacket. I would swing, too. Your hands are, like, locked into the jacket.
Right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's switch gears. And Adam Schefter, the great NFL reporter at the ESPN, the other network, he said something today about Tom Brady and his situation with the Patriots.
And I can read the quote if you want.
I never miss I never watch it, so I never miss it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Read the quote.
So Adam Schefter, appearing this morning on ESPN's Get Up, said, quote, "I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting until March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Now, last year with Gronk, he wound up retiring in late March. I don't know the conversations they did and did not have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends because of that. So I don't think they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency and all of a sudden sign with Team X and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now? That's not the way this organization operates." So he's expecting them to make some kind of decision long before the deadline.
I totally agree with him. I think Tom Brady's actions, Chris, he cleaned out the suite. He moved down to Southern Connecticut from where they were in Massachusetts, outside of New York. Just all the signs. His house is up for sale. His trainer's house is up for sale. But I got a solution here, and I think this is the way you handle it. You do what the Green Bay Packers did with Brett Favre. And his was different because every year he was like, "I don't know if I'm playing."
Right.
He would be waiting. They would be waiting. Wait, are you playing? Are you playing? They had to wait until the last time. What'd they do? Nope. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback, and we're not waiting for you. And finally, that was it. He was done there in Green Bay.
So they made the decision.
They made the decision, and that's what I think the Patriots should do. And just for what Schefter was saying, because you can't wait. You can't wait till March 15th or whatever the deadline when he becomes a free agent. You need to know what are your plans. Are you willing to come back? You know what I mean?
Right.
And if he says, "Nah, I'm looking for," or "You guys didn't pay me and I'm not happy and I want to move on and do something else," then you got to let him go and move on. It ain't the end of the world because we've already mentioned it over and over and over. How many great quarterbacks finish their career elsewhere? It's not a stain on Tom Brady.
Look, no doubt. Look, it's very possible that Tom Brady, he sees the same reports we do, Rob, that Belichick wants to move on, that Belichick didn't want to trade Garoppolo, and that it was Robert Kraft that kept him in New England, all that.
And then Belichick gave him away.
Right. So it's very possible that he's fed up with the disrespect. I do think it's a bit disrespectful, and that he's ready to move on. And they've, you know, the lower salaries that he's taken. But I don't lean that way. I think if Tom Brady had his druthers, he would be in New England next year. That they would pay him not the, you know, market value, not the highest paid quarterback or right up there with them in the league, but that they would pay him, you know, maybe 25, 26, 27 million a year, more than he's ever made, and they would want him back. I think he would go back. So I don't see it just as Tom Brady needs to let New England know. I think a big part of it is them letting him know.
I agree. We can't afford to pay you that kind of money.
Right.
And then Tom Brady will say, okay.
Or we want to move on, or whatever.
Right, whatever it is. Otherwise, you just got to say, okay, what will it take to get a deal done? We want you around the next 2 years. And then that's when Tom can say, okay, well, let's sit down and talk about it.
And they may, look, I don't blame the Patriots for wanting to do one-offs. 1 year. We'll give you a year. Look, you're 43 years old. We can't bank on you for 2 years. We'll give you a year. I know you want to be TB12 and play till you're 45, but nobody's ever done it. We can't bank on that. But we'll give you a year. So the question too, Rob, though, is if Robert Kraft pulled rank again on Belichick, right? He basically forced Belichick to trade Garoppolo. If he did something again, pay Brady, whatever it is, I'm not sure that Belichick would go along with that. I think he's fed up too.
I agree as well. I do not believe that that would be cool with him because, and if he took a year, you know, like say, okay, well, I'm done after this. You know what I mean? He'll have plenty of suitors. Guys who just got coaches, they would fire whoever they have.
Well, I was going to ask you, what if you, I mean, that's so cold-blooded, but look, if I could get Bill Belichick, I'm taking him, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, I hate to fire a coach I just hired.
But you got to do that sometimes. It's been done before. I've seen Les Moss was the manager of the Detroit Tigers. He would manage 15 games or something, Chris. Sparky Anderson became available from Cincinnati. What'd they do? Fired Les, like he had just started the season. They were like, what? Sparky's available? I'm just saying, of that caliber.
So let me ask you this.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
That's what they did. And guess what they did? They won a World Series in 1984 with Sparky.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, okay, so if you're Dallas, would you fire Mike? If Bill Belichick became available, would you fire Mike McCarthy?
Wow.
McCarthy just seems like above, you know, like you got to respect him.
Well, because he won. But, Chris, if all bets are off if Bill Belichick becomes available.
I tend to agree. I mean, if I can get Bill Belichick, I'm sorry, Mike. We can call New England. Maybe they'll take, you know, we'll make some calls for you.
We're going to pay you off. Take this money. It's our fault. We never knew he was going to be available. And it would be ugly. It would be ugly, but
the thing is, even if you're Mike McCarthy, I know you're upset, you got to, in your heart of hearts, you got to know.
It would hurt you.
It would hurt. But hold on. In your heart of hearts, you got to know, I get it. You might not admit it. Actually, you probably would say at the press conference.
Right. You would be like,
but
there would be no press conference because you would be so embarrassed. Seriously. You would just be like, well, where's my check?
It would be terribly embarrassing.
Right? It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Unless you quickly got another job somewhere else.
Even then, you wouldn't give them the you know, try to soft soak it to make me feel good. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You just broke my heart. I got this job. You didn't even have any faith in me to try to win. I won a championship. I could see if I never won.
Right.
Or I didn't win 8 division titles. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has a resume.
Right.